It's fun. Dumb. Fandumbo. Fandunghole. Fandango. Fandangler. Fandodge Durango. Fan sweet mango. Fan wango tango. Fandingo ate my baby o. Fan B-I-N-G bingo was his name o. Oh!
Oh, welcome, welcome, one and all, to the second edition of the Wrestle Nation podcast. And we would just like to say a huge thank you to everybody who's given us feedback and helped us to improve the show. We hope to keep on improving and, hey, hope to grow in following. How about you, Ian?
Yeah, we've had a great sort of reception through Twitter and we've just been sort of speaking to people in general and they've all given us really good feedback, which is good because this is a new venture for me and Chris. And we're not pros, so it's good to know that people are appreciating what we're doing.
And speaking of Twitter, my friend, there is a Wrestle Nation Twitter handle out there.
There is, yes. Would you like to do the details?
I would indeed. If you would like to follow us at WrestleNation01, you can keep up to date with all the latest going ons and what we've got coming in the future for the podcast. That's WrestleNation01. And there's going to be a Facebook page to come. Ian, would you like to tell people how they can listen to us?
Yes. This podcast is now officially going to be in the iTunes store. So I'm sure everyone knows how to use that. You know, just go to your podcast section on that and you can search for Wrestle Nation. We've had a little logo design now by a very good friend of ours, which you can see on our Twitter account as well, actually. So you can find us on that. Also, we are on Podomatic, so you can find us on that. And if you're on Android as well, don't worry, whatever your podcast software is, you can still find us on Android. So basically every single platform. We are there, Chris.
We are indeed. And, I counted about three different platforms. And speaking of things that happen in threes, I think it's time for our first segment.
Get up on your feet. Put your hands together. Sing along with three counts.
And it is time for your weekly three count, where I give you three wrestling headlines. And first off, we have to announce a retirement. That is right, Kid Cash has announced his retirement this year, stating on his Twitter that it's official, 2015 will be my last year as an active pro wrestler. I, for one, remember watching Kid Cash when I was younger, and it's a great shame to say the least. Second of all, our heartfelt feelings go out to Eddie Edwards, who broke his ankle at the Extravaganza tapings in a match against Davey Richards this past week. We wish him a speedy recovery. And also, finally, in TNA news, Samoa Joe has quit the company, but not pro wrestling. Where does Joe go from here? IGWP? WWE? Back to Ring of Honor? Who knows? But one thing is for sure, TNA and Impact Wrestling are going to miss the Samoan submission machine. And that was your three count.
You know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. Backstage, I was told to come out here, and they said, Joe, the fans love you, and if there's one thing they trust, it's you. And we want you to go out there, and we want you to tell these people something that'll make them satisfied with the fact that Scott Hall no-showed this event tonight.
And there was a small clip of the famous shoot promo by Samoa Joe from Turning Point 2007. Strange to think he's gone from Impact Wrestling, a guy who was, you know, basically one of the cornerstones of that company. I mean, who's left now? Abyss, I believe, if that's correct, is the only TNA original left.
Eric Young was not an original, was he?
Oh, no, you've got Abyss, Eric Young, James Storm, Bobby Roode.
I always remember with Eric Young when he was in Team Canada and he had Scott D'Amore. A very irritating manager, but good.
I think that was the point of him.
Yeah, he irritated very well.
Yes.
He was like a rash on your inner thigh.
Well, I wouldn't have gone that far, but I definitely wouldn't have minded hitting him with a hockey stick. As we were talking about Samoa Joe, do you have any particular favourite memories about Joe in TNA?
I always remember the matches he had with Kurt Angle when Kurt Angle first came in. There were some real bloodbaths. I can't particularly remember the events that they were at.
Genesis 2006, Turning Point 2006, and then Final Resolution 2007.
10 out of 10, Chris. But yeah, some of those matches were incredible. And, you know, and to me, Joe is, I think he's only 36 years old, so he's still young.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are saying, oh, he's too old, he won't go to WWE. But, you know, I will discuss a superstar that has just returned to WWE a bit later on, and then the whole age aspect of things will come in. But it's a shame. Joe was a well-respected member of talent on that TNA roster.
He added something to that roster as well. You know, he added experience. He'd been around the world. He'd fought guys like your AJ Styles, your Christopher Daniels, your CM Punks. You know, he had a wealth of experience, which not a lot of the guys in TNA have. And it's just a shame that he's gone. I mean, as I mentioned about memories, one of my personal favorite memories of Joe was Lockdown 2008. Of course, it was against Kurt Angle. I think those two just had some kind of inexplicable chemistry. And the matches they'd had between 2006 and 2007 were incredible. I think they got better with every single match they did. You know, and then they had the Six Sides of Steel at Lockdown where Joe finally won the TNA title. That was an incredible moment for wrestling fans the world over. And he actually went on a long title run with that. It's just a shame it was his only one.
Yeah, I mean, to me, here's a thought. See what you think of this. If Joe was to go to WWE, okay, now I'm not a massive TNA follower. I know a bit about Joe's career. Do you think if he went to WWE, they would push his Samoan side of things? Or is he actually Samoan? Because we know nothing about Joe's family history. We all know from WWE they pushed Samoan wrestlers like crazy and everyone's related. Do you think that they would do that with Joe?
It's hard to say because obviously WWE have this little penchant that they've got of actually owning the names of their talent. I mean, you look at the guys that have come in. You've got Kevin Steen now wrestling under Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn, who was Al Generico. Ooh, excuse me. Adrian Neville, who wrestled in the UK as Pac. Again, Finn Balor, who was Prince Devitt. I don't think you could get Samoa Joe over in WWE under a different name. He has to be Samoa Joe, you know, but again, they can't really push him like that because he has this whole Joe's going to kill you gimmick. They aren't going to push that, especially in a PG product. As much as it would be fantastic to see, then I'd love to say yes, but I know it won't happen, which is an unfortunate thing. I mean, you can imagine, obviously, they'd start him in NXT. You can imagine some of the things that would happen in NXT. But again, my whole thing with NXT is I love the product, but I'm just dreading when some of those guys go up to the main roster.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe.
It would be good. And by the way, Samoa Joe is a Samoan American. So he is Samoan. He's got part Samoan in him. I don't think he's part of the Anoa'i family. I've probably pronounced that wrong, and you can obviously tweet us if that's wrong and actually tell me how it's pronounced. Of course, the Anoa'i family being guys like The Rock, Roman Reigns, the Fatus, etc., etc. Yokozuna.
But, yeah, it's like you say, in WWE, they're all related, and then, you know, how would they work that with Joe? Who really knows? But, you know, going to what I was saying earlier on about his age, Rhino appeared in NXT yesterday.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear about that, and it was like, oh, okay.
Do we know how old Rhino is?
I will check now if you would like to keep on talking.
I mean, Rhino, he was in ECW in, I think he, about 98, he probably turned up in ECW. So, you know, he's been in the business for a long, long time. And I'm presuming Rhino has come in to push new talent. He made a beeline for Adrian Neville on this week's episode of NXT. Neville went up against Owens and there was like a backstage interview and Rhino came in and sort of, you know, gave him the look of death kind of thing. So, I'm guessing he's there to push new talent. He looks as good as ever and the crowd, they pop big style. Everyone was standing up. I always used to like Rhino, you know, the whole man. They're keeping with the man beast gimmick, you know.
The man beast, yeah. And in fact, he is 39 years of age. He made his debut in 1994. And before going to ECW, he was actually in WCW, where he wrestled against Jim Duggan. And he also lost a WCW television championship match against the Renegade. Right. He also lost against Road Warrior Hawk.
I mean, what do you think about Rhino coming back?
I'm quite happy because I thought Rhino always brought a bit of intensity. And it's nice to see in like what I consider to be a watered-down product. And just to clear this up, guys, because I know a lot of people get this, and I'm sure Ian will kind of back me up on this. I'm neither pro WWE, pro TNA. You know, hey, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. I'm a pro wrestling guy. I love wrestling, so I love and some subsequently hate things about all products, but I just like wrestling. So I just thought I'd better get that out there before I continue. But yeah, because the WWE is a bit more friendly, I think Rhino adds that bit of gritty edge that the older fans can relate to. And obviously it's a guy from their past. I think he still looks the part, which is, you know, you can't say that about many guys that take so much time away. And, you know, they keep in shape.
He was recently in TNA, though, wasn't he? He came in for a very short stint.
Yeah, he did. They were doing the New York tapings, weren't they?
Yeah.
So I believe it was just before Bully Ray's contract expired.
Yeah. But I think the fact that he's come into NXT is really accentuating that NXT is now becoming its own brand.
Oh, yeah. But again, I see it as he's there to help younger talent get over, you know. And I suppose, quite rightly, you put an established guy like Rhino on the product and it's, oh, he's a legitimate threat to the title straight away. And then you have these younger guys build up against him and actually work with him, gain experience from him, make them seem more credible. Not to say that the guys aren't already credible, sorry. You know, you've got some fantastic talent in NXT, and I will always say that. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to find out where the whole Rhino thing goes.
I think it's becoming, NXT just continuously evolves. And my big thing this week about NXT was finally the takeover video packages were all revealed. And Solomon Crowe has made his long-awaited debut. I mean, I've been sort of keeping up this guy on and off through the ZZW and a couple of other indie feds. And I've always found him a very interesting, dark kind of character. And he turned up. I thought it was a brilliant segment. CJ Parker came out and he was going to just take over the show. And then all of a sudden these video packages run and Solomon Crowe came out and he just cut an awesome promo. He didn't really say an awful lot. He said a couple of words and then he rolled out the ring and he went. But he's still got the same look. He's still wearing the same kind of gear. He's an exciting guy to look out for in the future, that's for sure.
Well, I can honestly say I've not watched a lot of Sami Callihan's work or Solomon Crowe, but I will definitely be keeping my eye out. As you've said, if he's one to watch, I trust your judgment on that. And I will look forward to watching what he can bring in the future. Again, with NXT, it brings a lot of guys who I've not heard of and some guys that I have heard of. I mean, I've never actually watched a lot of Kenta's stuff and I'm becoming quite the big Kenta fan. Hiedo Itami.
Yeah, he's got some he's a small guy, but he can go.
Oh yes, indeed, some great stuff. I mean, we didn't talk about this last week in our little talk about Rival, but the match he had with Tyler Breeze, and Tyler Breeze, I think, is a fantastic character. Though I think if he goes to the main roster, they're just going to put him and Fandango in a tag team.
Yeah.
I can see it happening now.
Yeah.
And I think the writing's on the wall for that one. But I really enjoyed their match.
Absolutely. Brilliant match. He's a great talent. And he's been in that system for quite a while now as well. So, how much longer is it going to take for him? It always worries me a little bit. I prefer it sometimes when they stay in NXT.
Okay. On that subject, we... Talking of NXT, there is a guy currently in the WWE, and this subsequently takes us on to our next part of the conversation. There's a guy in the WWE who made his break in NXT. He made his name as part of a three-man group in the WWE for the past 2 years and has had a rocket ship shoved up his backside. I am, of course, talking about Roman Reigns. Now, of all the guys of the Shield, who would you have in the main event picture right now? Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, or Dean Ambrose?
I'd have to go for Seth Rollins. It's a difficult one because we all know more about Seth Rollins, he's past in wrestling, than we do... Roman Reigns. As far as I know, Roman Reigns only had a very small amount of wrestling training and then he landed up in NXT.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Roman Reigns still had that pedigree, obviously being a Samoan wrestler. He had the pedigree and there was a lot of buzz about him being the next, big Samoan wrestler. And I just think it's too much too soon for him.
Yeah,
I've not been caught in this whole Roman Reigns hype.
I have to agree. I mean, I love Dean Ambrose. I think the guy's awesome. But just because he cuts a good promo, just because he's a little bit psycho, doesn't mean that he should be at the top of the ladder.
Again, I agree. I think the guy they've got at the moment is Seth Rollins, being the guy who is the all-round package, All right, he's not huge. He's not a huge guy. But going back to the Royal Rumble, he showed that he could hang with two of the greatest of all time. And he stole the show that night. But he's got the promo skills. He's got the in-ring skills, the character. So Seth Rollins is the way to go forward. Dean Ambrose, I have always liked because there's something different about him. He's got the in-ring persona. He's got the craziness. He's got the great promo. But he's also got a unique style of in-ring work and it just fits his character to a T. I look at Roman Reigns and I just see another corporate made, churned out five moves of doom, we are going to boo him within 12 months guy.
Yeah, I mean, I see... I have all these sort of dream teams and dream matches in my head, and all at the moment I keep seeing Dean Ambrose and Solomon Crowe. Not even wrestling together, maybe being a little team or something, but they're both quite kooky, they're both quite crazy. If the hardcore title still existed, then Dean Ambrose would be your man. But it doesn't. We live in the PG world where apparently now they can say crap.
Really?
They can say crap quite a few times and ass.
Does that mean we can say crap on this podcast?
I'd never say crap. I don't endorse the word crap.
You're talking crap.
Yeah, it's a load of obscene rap. Shall we go to a little segment and then come back after that and talk about what's on the network?
Indeed. I believe you've probably got some audio gem for us, so let's sit back and enjoy this.
And now we return to your regularly scheduled broadcast.
And there was a small clip of Mr. Solomon Crowe, and quite rightly so, back to our regularly scheduled programming, because obviously this coming Sunday we have a pay-per-view. The first Fastlane pay-per-view. How are you feeling coming into this pay-per-view, Ian?
The name is irrelevant, isn't it, really? I mean, it used to be No Way Out, didn't it? Then it used to be Elimination Chamber. The name is irrelevant, but, I get the point of the name. I think you have to be a bit excited about it. I mean, I've always found this pay-per-view, the February pay-per-view, is always kind of like the spanner in the works on the road to WrestleMania. Maybe that should be a new title.
WWE presents Spanner in the Works.
I think that will probably be fitting, because all this pay-per-view is, a lot of the times, it's just to... you get your Royal Rumble winner, and then they kind of just put that extra match in at Fastlane to kind of... change up what's going to happen at Mania.
This is true. I mean, I always found No Way Out, Elimination Chamber to be a hit or miss event, especially in the past couple of years. It's been a bit more miss, but the February pay-per-view has hosted a lot of classic things. I mean, who can forget the classic from 2001, Austin Triple H, Three Stages of Hell?
Yep.
Obviously things like
Eddie Guerrero
winning the title from Brock Lesnar, which was an incredible moment, and one of the greatest in that company's history, in my opinion. The other things that have happened at No Way Out, from like 2004 onwards, sort of went on a downward spiral. And then, of course, 2010, we were introduced to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which I think had a good few decent moments, like Batista shockingly winning the title, Shawn Michaels costing The Undertaker the title, of course, leading up to their great match at Mania 26. Elimination Chamber 2011, in my opinion, a great pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're saying about Fastlane and what we've had in the past. To me, I'm not a big fan of those like the Hell in a Cell pay per view. I don't like the gimmick pay per views.
I think if done correctly, they can be done well. I mean, one gimmick pay per view they did was Breaking Point. We've not had a Breaking Point pay per view since, but it was good because it wasn't all just like a Hell in a Cell thing. You had different versions of submission and I quit matches, things like that.
John Cena, Randy Orton, brilliant. That match was incredible on that Pacific Breaking Point.
Yeah, and things like Christian William Regal on that show was great.
We're going off on one completely here, really, aren't we? We'll be talking about Extenders before you know it.
Yeah, we probably will be. Oh, next thing we know, seeing as Samoa Joe's gone from TNA, he's going to debut as Lucy Beale's killer.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, should we run down what the matches are for Fastlane?
We will indeed. There is also a rumoured match, so if we start off with that one first, it's a rumoured match, bear in mind. Nothing official at the time of recording. and that is a six-man tag team match between Seth Rollins, Big Show, and Kane versus the team of Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and Ryback.
That's so obvious.
Yep. Your thoughts?
If that's going to... I would say that would be on the pre-show, but the fact Seth Rollins is in it, it won't be on the pre-show.
I think you've got too much star power in it, having Rollins, Ziggler, to a lesser extent Ryback, because Ryback has been getting over huge with the crowd recently.
I don't get that. Where has that come from? Don't tell me it was the Y2J podcast he did.
I have no idea, but I can kind of dig it. I kind of like Ryback.
But the Goldberg chants have gone now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they're probably still there, just cleverly edited.
Yeah, that'd be a good match, you know.
Probably be a good thing to open the show with. If you're going to do that, open the show with it.
They've got to get Seth Rollins on the card somewhere, haven't they, really? So.
Well, yeah, again, but, you know, I think they've done well with Seth Rollins this year, considering he's a Money in the Bank holder.
Well, yeah.
And you know what Money in the Bank means to certain stars? It's been a death nail.
I mean, Seth Rollins has had a couple of a dodgy sort of week or so, hasn't he, really? Poor bugger.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to make any jokes because they've all been made.
Yes. My Twitter account got blocked for making one joke, so there we go. Lesson to you all. I really wish to say something now, and I'm literally not saying it and finding it hard to say anything else.
We'll go on to something else. Who do you pick as a winner for that six-man tag?
I don't know. I'm going to say the fabulous threesome, whatever you want to call them.
The fired threesome. The fired threesome.
Yeah, I'm just going to say them.
So you go with Ziggler, Rowan, and Ryback. To be honest, I'd probably go the same. Though, considering the way they were all buried at the Royal Rumble, I wouldn't be surprised to see Big Show, Kane, and Rollins go over. And really, depending on what they've got planned for Rollins at WrestleMania, you'll need to make him look strong. So, actually, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to go with Rollins, Kane, and Show.
Okay. I reckon J&J Security are going to get involved. They're the modern-day Patterson and Briscoe, and they're going to be stupid and therefore get their team disqualified or something, and then... Baldy Locks and Dolph Ziggler and whoever else it is wins.
Okie dokie. Right, we move on to the first title match that's been announced. And it's an interesting one in my opinion, because the challengers have really come out of nowhere. They've built a lot of steam off of just the things they've been doing. And the match is the Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. Of course, the Usos will have Naomi in their corner. And Kidd and Cesaro will have Natalya in their corner. So, what do you think about this tag title match?
When I say Oos, you say? I actually quite like the Usos now. They used to irritate me a little bit, but I don't know. I kind of like them. To me, this is all inter-promotional. You know, total divas kind of thing, because we all know where you know the relationship between everyone there, but then again they are two really good teams. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, you know, imagine them guys running the indies. that would be a brilliant combination, but I'm gonna have to go for the Usos on that one, I think.
That's fair enough. I'm going to oppose you again because it's just pure the fact that I love Cesaro. I think Cesaro is an amazing worker and I've always been big on him. So I'm hoping that him and Kidd take the titles, even though they may drop them the next month at WrestleMania. It's just something I'd quite like to see. And as far as the Usos go, I don't like the Usos. I don't see the appeal.
Chris, since when has being an amazing worker got you anywhere in WWE?
This is true.
Look at old Ziggles.
This is true.
That's a different conversation. I'm going to get hate for that. What's next?
Our next match is the Intercontinental Championship match between Bad News Barrett and Dean Ambrose. I'm going to make my prediction on this one. And it's the fact that Wayne Rooney's going to do a run-in and cost Bad News Barrett the title, if you saw the Twitter war they had.
Could you explain that to me? Because I haven't actually seen it. I know something is going on.
I believe Barrett was watching a United game and obviously just called out Wayne Rooney on his diving. As a football fan, I am a Manchester United fan. As a people fan, I am not a Wayne Rooney fan. And, you know, Rooney just cockily turns around and says, oh, well, you know, I'll bring Stone Cold Steve Austin out of retirement for you. Didn't even actually put Stone Cold's Twitter handle. He just put Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it's like, well, Wayne, shut up. Look at, like, you know, I know wrestling is a scripted sport, but it is a sport nonetheless. And Bad News Barrett, as an Englishman, has won more accolades and championships in the past 2 years than you will. So deal with it, Wayne. But in all seriousness, I actually think this match shouldn't be on this pay-per-view. And therefore, I'm actually not going to make a prediction on it. I think they rushed it, and it should be on the WrestleMania card instead.
Okay. I'm going to go hashtag BNB. I know we've got the UK tour coming up. I know that's after Mania. I'm going to go for Bad News Barrett winning this one.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm afraid I've got some good news.
We then have another championship match, and it is Nikki Bella with her sister Brie versus Paige for the WWE Divas Championship. Let's hope Paige can find some ring attire this time. Or not have it stolen, at least.
Shall I give my...
I've left it open for you, mate.
I'm going to go for Nikki Bella. Not because I like her. I don't know. I just think that... It's weird, because a while ago, Paige was kind of... I wouldn't say getting buried, but she was kind of... going down the diva scale a little bit a couple of months ago. Now she seems to be coming back up again. So saying that, I think this is the beginning of, I won't say the beginning, but this is the progression in a feud for her to get that title back. And I think what fitting way would it be? She won the Divas title a year ago, get nearer to that year, and then she regains it again.
Well, I see this as basically shameless promotion. It's the Total Divas effect. And I'm sure you and me will have a very in-depth discussion about the Total Divas effect on a future show. But obviously, Paige has been announced as one of the... She's on Total Divas now. She has been for a while, so it's not a recent announcement. But I'm going to go with Nikki Bella on it because I know, or I can see where they're going with it. And it's going to be Brie versus Nikki at WrestleMania. I can just see it happening now. And yes, folks, I will wager that that's what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So Brie versus Nikki, going to be a WrestleMania match. So I have to go with Nikki Bella.
That's if they can fit a Divas match in at WrestleMania.
I'm sure they'll find time to plug Total Divas, as well as the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Right then.
I agree.
We now have two more matches, one more title match, and one is a non-title match with heavy implications for WrestleMania. Now, these are the two main events of the show. I'm going to talk about them in order of importance to me, or what I think they should be on the card. And we are going to talk first about the United States Championship match, Rusev with Lana versus John Cena. Why this is being done here, again, I have no idea. Why not make Rusev into an unstoppable monster if you're going to feed him to Cena and have him go to WrestleMania to have him beat Cena, unlike they did last year, where having Bray Wyatt not beat John Cena at WrestleMania and kill all of his momentum. You know, they've got a chance to do something stupendous here. And to be honest, I'm pulling for a John Cena victory via disqualification.
Yeah, I think John Cena's got to that point where he's had the top titles, and he may go down and get those lower level titles, very much like Sheamus did. Sheamus, you know, had the world title, then he went to US, didn't he? And I don't think he's been Intercontinental, has he?
No, he's not been Intercontinental, but. Again, with Sheamus has still got a long career ahead of him. Cena has been in the company now for 13 years.
Yeah, I think I'm going to... Well, I hope that Cena gets that belt and shoves it up his Putin. and very fitting, if you spell Lana backwards, what do you get? I'll leave that...
Something we're not going to talk about just in case children are listening to the show.
But yeah, you get my point. I don't know. I actually quite like Rusev, but I don't know.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Cena carrying the United States Championship would probably be a good thing. I mean, also, I suppose there is one good thing about the Intercontinental title match on this card. It's actually got a story going into it. And the same as this United States title match has got a story going into it. In the past few years, these titles have become redundant. And that's such a shame, because you remember the greatness that used to be the Intercontinental Championship. Again, the United States Championship. Rhodes and Flair feuded over that thing intensely. And it was one of the greatest feuds of all time. You look at Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon having one of the greatest matches of all time at a WrestleMania for the IC title. Hell, the IC title main evented a WrestleMania like 25 years ago.
So what's the final verdict then?
Well, I'm pulling for John Cena to win via DQ. I don't want him to take the belt. I want Rusev to remain undefeated so as that he can go to WrestleMania and beat John Cena clean. To retain his undefeated streak.
Yeah, I think I agree, actually, to drag the feud out a little bit more, get a little bit more storyline into it and progress to Mania.
Yep. And finally, we have what, in my opinion, should be the main event of the show, and that is Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. The winner will face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. Oh, we got a lot to talk about in this one. Ian, I'm going to let you start.
I don't want to be the one that says what everyone else says all the time.
Then I will start. I want Daniel Bryan to win. And before everyone takes to Twitter and all that, no, it's not because I'm a flaming Daniel Bryan mark. I'd rather see Daniel Bryan one-on-one with Brock Lesnar than I would see Roman Reigns one-on-one with Brock Lesnar. Quite simply because, you know, I'm not a huge guy. I'm not a small guy, you know. But I can attach myself more to a storyline if I think I actually want to see the small guy kick the shizness out of the big guy. And yes, I did stop myself from cursing there, luckily.
I think it's a David and Goliath thing. And that's always been a good selling point, hasn't it? Look at all the old Andre the Giant matches and everything, having the big guy and the little guy. People say this all the time, I think Roman Reigns just needs a little bit more time to mature.
Exactly, so do I. I don't think he's quite ready yet. And to be honest, if you were to give him a feud, if you needed to have him have a big WrestleMania match, the perfect WrestleMania match for him is The Rock. Because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially from where they went at the Royal Rumble. You have The Rock versus Reigns. You know, Reigns. They've been turning Reigns slightly heel. But they've also been doing the same with Daniel Bryan to kind of negate that. So it's interesting because either one could turn. But carry on.
Well, no, sorry to interrupt, Chris. I kind of get the same image with Roman Reigns as I do the way Daniel Bryan came up through the ranks. I mean, the authority, everyone made Daniel Bryan's life hell. I kind of see Roman Reigns possibly being the next person that has that trouble, if you know what I mean.
Let's make no mistake about this. I don't think you can put Reigns and Bryan in that same kind of category. Not because I'm not saying, you know, it's because of wrestling ability or anything like that, but you just need to look at the guys. Daniel Bryan was being, you know, showered with crap from a great height as he was a smaller guy that got over. Roman Reigns is this hoss of a man. You know, he's a Hulk. He ain't going to take crap from no one. He is going to punch someone's lights out if they get in his face.
I just don't buy that whole thing. I mean, they talk about him like he's built like a poo house, but he's not that big. I mean, he's big, but I mean not like, you know, they talk about him like he's some kind of Brock Lesnar sometimes, and I just don't buy it. I just don't buy into him. Maybe this will stretch out to Mania. Who really knows? I don't know, but
I hope it doesn't, because I don't want to see another triple threat this year.
Yeah.
That's the way it looks like it's going, and I really don't want to see that.
It's going to be interesting to see, and as I say, this is the final stop towards WrestleMania, and there is one slight detail to do with WrestleMania that we haven't actually mentioned yet. So we'll come back just after this and we'll have a little bit of a chat about that.
For 20 years, I eat, sleep, and breathe WWE. While others have come and gone, I have stayed here. My blood, sweat, tears, passion, all to make this a better place. And all of it, life's work, almost all taken away because of one man, Sting.
Yes, a great segment on Raw.
Yeah, Ric Flair coming out and just the way Triple H reacted to him. Wow.
Yeah, WWE is Triple H's life, as he described.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see Flair having some involvement in this feud. As long as it doesn't lead to a Flair-Sting match somewhere down the line at SummerSlam, I don't care. But, I think that just adds to it. That could be awesome. And I am looking forward to their confrontation. As I said last episode, Sting hasn't spoken a word in the WWE yet. So all build up towards this and just hearing him actually speak on WWE programming is going to be pretty cool.
If you think about it, he might not even speak. It could be another package like we had, you know, when he accepted. It could be something like that again. I mean, you've got to remember, this is a big thing, despite the fact that they brought him in on Survivor Series for Jackal, they should really be saving speaking for WrestleMania.
I don't know. Maybe he can just do short and sweet. You know, if you said he's good at pointing, just points at the WrestleMania logo and just then says, "You and me." Because that, you know, you hear him speak, it's nothing too big. The crowd will bust a nut.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something along those lines. It's not going to be a massive segment, just enough to get him in there.
Disclaimer, if this happens, I do not book for the WWE. They have not consulted me about this, nor do I wish to, because if I booked any of their product, it would be a lot better, but... I'm sorry, I had to get that one in there.
Sorry, I thought that our broadcast was interrupted by headquarters for a minute then.
The following has been paid for by the New World Order.
And my monitor just went all black and white and crackly.
Hey, yo. Anyway, yes, back to the conversation. We're getting off. I'm getting us off topic here. I do apologise, naughty boy. Yeah. So, Sting and Triple H's confrontation, I think, has been one of the big selling points of Fastlane. So I think they can't not have speaking from Sting.
No speakity anglais.
No speakity. Apparently, I don't speak English.
Gibberish.
I speak gibberish, yes, this is true. And before anyone tweets, yes, you speak gibberish. I just got confused. Actually, go ahead, tweet it. I'm going to get some flack for being incoherent anyway.
And
I'm talking crap.
We'll be tweeting at WrestleNation01. 01. Why is that? 01. That is a pet peeve, and I've just done it myself. When people get O's and zeros, and they just say O, and it's not, it's a zero.
It is zero, a zero, yeah. Sorry.
Zero. Oval. O is like a hula hoop. Just like that. Yes.
So it's WrestleNation Hula Hoop 1.
Yeah. We're talking about our Twitter account, not hula hoops, or endorsements of any kind. I'm excited for Fastlane. We're just going to have to see what happens, really. I won't be watching it live. I'll be watching it probably the next day. Generally very excited. What are your predictions for our listeners on Fastlane? You know, just tweet us in what your predictions are. If you don't agree with some of the things I've said, let me know why. All in 160 characters, if possible. Thank you very much.
And the same here. Yeah, if you've got any disagreements with things myself or Ian have said about Fastlane, feel free to tweet us. Also, if you've got any different opinions, what you think might happen otherwise, something we might not have thought of, again, give us that. It's always nice to hear what people think could happen. It's always great. And some of the things that fans often come up with, I think, are built up in the minds, and they actually could have been a lot better than what the WWE or wrestling in general produce. That's the talk of Fastlane out the way. I will be watching it live, so I will be on the WrestleNation Twitter as we go, and you can keep up to date with me. I will be on there.
Hashtag blue pants.
Hashtag blue pants.
Yeah, I'm loving
it. Ian got me earlier, ladies and gentlemen. I've not long been watching NXT, and he mentioned blue pants, and I was like, what? What are you on about? Stop talking crazy. You've been on too much coffee. And he was like, oh, it's just this girl from Shimmer. I'll let Ian talk to you more about it, because I didn't get it.
She's just got the word pants in her. It's blue pants. And they're actually, for those of you who watched NXT this week, blue pants is Leva Bates, Shimmer, Shine, all that stuff.
Shimmy Shake.
Yeah, Chimichanga. And her music was the Price is Right theme tune, and the graphic on the screen, blue pants, the Titantron was like loads of blue pants. So will we be getting NXT merchandise for blue pants? Will we be getting blue pants? And what if you're a man and you don't wear pants? Will you be getting blue boxer shorts?
You can just pick them up from Primark.
blue pants is here. Blue pants of WrestleMania 32. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, big news.
Mania 32, hashtag blue pants.
Get your tweets in, hashtag blue pants. One thing, though, because we're kind of running out of time here. I'm spending about 5 minutes talking about pants.
That's a shame, because I've got something I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
You spoke about the music she used. Have you noticed what's been going on Twitter with Grado and Madonna?
I have, yeah.
We completely and utterly endorse Say Yes, Madge.
Yeah.
So we will be tweeting that out later. Just wanted to say because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's gotta be done. We spoke about on last week's show about a legendary Hall of Famer being announced, and we got over excited and mentioned all these different names, and the name has now been revealed. And do you know what? I'm quite happy about this, actually.
I am too, actually. It's going to be one of those rare occurrences, and I don't think, you know, he's done many things like this. But, of course, we are talking about the London Wrestling Convention 2015. But before we get on to revealing who the Hall of Famer was that was revealed, there's another diva going to be in attendance as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that diva being the lovely, may I just say, Ashley Massaro. Of course, she's recently, I believe it's, is it Lucha Underground she's just signed with?
Oh, I don't know.
I know she's signed with a company. No, I don't think it is Lucha Underground, actually. I know she's signed with a wrestling company, but it's not Lucha Underground. I'll try and find that out and tweet it out. But yeah, she's been announced for RWC, which is going to be cool. And the Hall of Famer. Speaking of announcing who it is. Do you see what I did there?
Can you guess who it is?
It is going to be none other than one of the cast of Legends House. The man himself, the legend that is, the Fink, Howard Finkel, will be in London on June 20th and June 21st.
As you say, he wasn't on any of the things when I went to WrestleMania last year, he wasn't on any of them, and I don't know, I've never really, through the medium of Facebook or anything, I've never seen people with pictures of themselves and the thing.
And just to also say, if you're quick about it, you can pick up a fantastic deal with PSI Events to actually meet the Fink on those days. For £10, you're going to get an autograph and a photo with the man. But that's only for the first 50 comers who buy tickets. And then after, it's £20. So get in there quickly and do it. I know I'll be buying my ticket for him this weekend. You, Ian?
I'm going to try to buy one as soon as possible. But what do you think about this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
God. Stop the pace.
Introducing the challenger.
Oh, God.
From Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, God.
Weighing 218 pounds, CM Punk.
Well, you don't see many like that. There aren't guys like the Fink anymore. And to be honest, I think, you know, I just love hearing the Fink, like when he announces stuff. WrestleMania is not the same without the Fink and JR.
One thing I would like to say about Howard is I've always had the impression, and he was at the Legends House set at WrestleMania Access, and he's a very general, humble, friendly, chatty bloke.
I get that.
Very
that impression
kind of person, someone that, you know, you can really sit next to him. And I mean, there were people sitting next to him and they just looked comfortable with him. He's not intimidating, just a nice guy to have a general chat with.
Yeah, and I'm going to look forward to meeting him at RWC, and I'm sure anyone who's bought a ticket or will buy a ticket is going to look forward to that too. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to wrap this thing up. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak, and it's thank you for listening all the way through. You managed to survive. God bless you. Just remember again, if you would like to contact us via Twitter, it's WrestleNation01. Share your thoughts about this week's podcast. And, you know, we might give some shout-outs to the people who do. So from me, it's a hearty goodbye and thank you.
And yes, thanks for listening from me. And also, if you do download this show via iTunes, there is the review section. If you'd like to post a comment in there, that would be lovely. Me and Chris would appreciate that very much. And we want to know what you guys think. And so we can keep coming back and doing this. I feel this second show is so much better than the first. So if it gets better at this pace, then we'll be on a
winner. We'll be on a fast lane.
We will be. We're on the fast lane to episode 3.
See you later, guys.
See ya.